the 60s, 70s, and beginning of the 80s, that was the main hub of playing national team games US.
It was,
so there's a lot of history within that. I mean, in 1950s, there's like four guys from St. Louis knowing in the World Cup now the U.S. soccer playing in a national team and playing. There's two guys from that's not common. But there's been history, but the problem is there was nothing that could shine that history, which what it makes it is a first team, is a professional team. And I think that's where it comes to now. You know, now the state and the city gets more to be seen about it and talk about it in other states. And before that becomes attractive as well, before maybe people didn't want to go to San Luis.
Right,
but now it's like, oh, there's something there. What's going on over there? So I think that's the things that bring out together the community, and the community is super like intense in terms of now, you know, I it's just with the deposits with the stadium, it was already sold everything in the first 2 years, and then it's like if you want to get tickets, it's gone. So it tells you how much hunger they were about, you know, bringing a professional setup into the area, right?
All right, guys, we're here at the United Soccer Coaches Convention. This is episode 42 of the Footy Pod, and our first guest is Luis Swisher, and he is an academy coach at St. Louis City, brand new MLS side that is entering the MLS this next year, but your academy teams have been going for, this is your second year now?
Yes, this is our second, half of the season of our second year,
Very good. So why don't you just kind of fill us in on how things have been going? You know, obviously it's a different challenge coming into a brand new MLS academy and trying to build things from the ground up. But it seems like I had a chance to visit the St. Louis City Stadium when I was in St. Louis recently for the ECNL showcase. It looks like they've really put together a nice venue and they're going to get a nice community around the club as well. So why don't you just tell us kind of how things have been going and your background in soccer as well?
Well, thank you, Sean, for the invitation. So this is my second year with the club. Like you say, right, it's a unique setup in downtown. Obviously, MLS requires and kind of having a stadium, and the facility is the first facility connected in the same spot and in a unique setup with a tunnel connects the training facility with the stadium. So like you mentioned, we started like everything. I mean, we're new. This is our first year with the first team. There's a lot of buzzing going around, especially this week. The first team started with their medicals, and their first training was yesterday. And, you know, it's interesting to see, you know, we moved to the facility late October. And, you know, having 10, 15, 20 people around during the next 2 months. And then suddenly this year we start over and there's like, it's super crowded with players, with more staff, more media, more. I mean, it's going, it's starting, and then everyone is like, you know, like
the doors are
excited.
Open.
Exactly. Super excited. Now within the academy setup as well, I think it was a good process for us to start with the foundation of the first teams. We started with the first year only with 60s and 70s. And as we went on, we kind of started this year filling out the structure of the academy. And now, finally, the first team was the one that was missing. Now we have a full path and a full in terms of every team and the levels that we have. So we have in the U14s, we have it was established this year after the 60s and 70s. Like a satellite program, we don't still coach them. There's a coach specifically for that, but the players still are in their clubs. What we do is just bring them to our environment. So when they get started in the 15s, it's nothing new for them, but it's new team for them. But it's also having a kind of a little bit of information on how it's gonna look, and it also obviously takes you as a little bit of recruiting, and even though we know the players that are in the area, but it gives you a little opportunity to those players start experiencing it without not being yet in the club, right? Because they still belong to the local academies in the region. And then our full path starts 15s, 16s, 17s. We add the 50s this year as well, and then the 21s. And then This year in January, we had our next pro, which is like our under 23 second team.
And are that you
was
in that,
that
team
was
as well?
Our like our pro team for a year, because there was no obviously first team. So until this year, it started with a with a full structure. I'm a head coach of the 21s.
Okay.
I do help. Obviously, there's a connection with the 23s, especially now. There's going to be more connection with that. Before last year, I was coaching the 17s, so then the next pro came over, but there was a little bit of a gap there, so we decided to put 21s. I moved to the 21s, and there's a new coach as well because most of the staff of the next pro team moved to the first team, and which Bradley Carnell, which is our head coach, was involved already for even having a team already involved with the second team. And we had, I would say, a small group of guys that were pros in that team that they were preparing them for to get them into as well, to not be having experience. And that's why we were successful getting our first year in next pro to go to all the way to the final, right, and be in the Western champions.
Yeah,
so like I said, now there's a full path, and yeah, and excited for, you know, being part of the organization already. Being, you know, I was one of the, I would say, the first 10 coaches hired in the process, right? So it's a unique experience having going through
it.
Everything,
yeah.
Exactly. So excited as well because the first year we had a player in the 17s, Caden Glover, who he was 15, where he was playing with us in the 17s, coming via another club, Gallagher. And he's our first homegrown who was just released a couple of days. So it's excited to see, you know, that there it's happening, right?
Yeah.
And then a little bit of my background. I've been five years in San Luis. I'm originally from Guatemala. I've been in the States for 10 years, 5 years established in San Luis. Worked with San Luis FC / Gallagher for 3 years. I was kind of in the same boat, doing the same thing, U19. I was a U19 head coach. I was the link to the first team with players moving up and down. And obviously, we're a USL championship when we had it. And I was a director of coaching. And prior to that, via that, I came via Colorado. I was 2 years in Colorado working for a USL 2 team. And they have a youth structure as well. Worked there as a director more of Zone 1 with younger ages. And then before that, 3 years in 2 years in Red Bull, working the training program. So that's how I started here in the States. I started from the bottom, not knowing anyone.
Now we're here.
I just got, you know, hey, where I can coach. And
yeah,
that's it. Obviously, started in Red Bull, worked with them 2 years and a half, then moved to Cedar Stars for a year in academy setup, with their 14s. Yeah, that's been my path here in the States. That was in 2013. I'm going to be 10 years. Before that, I was, like I said, in Guatemala. I was playing professionally, played 16 years professionally.
And you played for the national team?
I played 10 years over a span of 10 years in the national team. And then my last 4 years of my career, I was combining as a part-time. I was also finishing my master in business, and I had to do a thesis on... And my thesis was building a club. So I started building my own, like a soccer school. And I built my own club for 3 years and a half. I had to close it and shut it down, obviously, because then I got a job moving up to the States. I always was intrigued about how things were doing. They were here. And then I decided to move up and say, you know what, this is where I'm staying. I mean, there's a lot of growth and a lot of opportunities. Obviously, there's been a lot of... you know, digging and working hard to get to the point where I am. I mean, even in back in my country, it's like people is like, oh, you know, it looks easier, but it's not easier. It's a 10-year, like I said, of, you know, a lot of hard work. And one thing has brought me to the other one, which is good. And yeah, that's been involved in the industry for all my life, right? Since I started playing, and then from transition from a professional player to a soccer coach.
That's awesome, man. And it really is a lifelong, you know, journey and grind. You know, you just got to keep climbing that ladder. I think from your story, a couple things stuck out to me. Number one, with what you're doing with St. Louis, it seems like the way that they kind of built it is a bit unique. in regards to or in comparison to other MLS clubs in that you started with the academy and now you're implementing the MLS team. Obviously, that was always part of the plan, but I think just, I guess, from what I've seen, it's like any MLS academy that has come about always came from the first team first, initially. So are there any other clubs that come to mind that you noticed where they started the academy first?
Latest franchise, I think they kind of started Nashville, Charlotte, a little bit like that as well. Austin as well. They always put their feet on the water for 1 or 2 years with their academy. And it makes sense. I mean, compared to the old franchise with FC Dallas, you know, everyone that is in the past, it was already set a league, and then you have to build a structure down, which it makes sense. But for the new franchises that are coming into the MLS,
they're starting with the academy.
There is a starting, exactly, because there is still a time where, let's say, you get the spot, but you get it into 3 years. So building that foundation, it makes sense, because it's easier. I would say it's easier for what the experience that we have for our players. For example, players that... we have even Roman Berkey coming to the first team, already playing in a few games in Next Pro. But why is the reason? Because it's easier for him to adapt into just coming in. Like, there's a lot of players that they're going to experience that, but it's going to be a less for them. So they get to know the city, they get to establish themselves, know what's going on, and it's easier to kind of get in, you know, the fit. And then for the younger ages, it is the same as, oh, you know, you're building a foundation in order to get them more excited. Like I said, the players are super, you know, buzzing, because in 2 years, if we go back, it was excitement because they were in city, but there was nothing. We have to rent fields. We have to do this. And now everything is like connecting, exactly. Like, even when we sit down with the players, it's like, you know, kind of the feedback in terms of things to improve. And the things that they like as well. It was interesting. A couple of days, I was talking to a player, and he was like, he just came to the environment 6 months ago. He was lucky to go inside now with the full thing. Yeah. And he goes like, what I like, coach, this is a professional setup. Yeah. I didn't even have a dressing room, and now I have my own dressing room. This could be, and it's tricky, right? Because that's when it comes to the culture, creating a culture, creating that environment. But the players are already like, oh, shoot, we are treated as a professional, even though we haven't even got too close.
Yeah, they're getting
close.
That taste early. Yeah. I would say, is there, obviously with youth soccer and, like, coaches and clubs and stuff, there's always kind of, like, a negative energy around, like, players kind of leaving and going to another team, or, like, coaches and clubs leaving. Was there any, like, I guess, kind of bad vibes around St. Louis kind of getting a team with players maybe leaving clubs, going to kind of like the MLS Next teams and the other youth teams you have? Or was the city pretty much just all aboard, like all excited?
Well, I mean, there's obviously there were local academies, right?
Yeah.
Which that was going to happen.
Oh,
I mean,
sure.
That for sure in any, if we ask Charlotte, if we ask Nashville, if we ask all the teams that they're new with it, you know, there's always a threat for those local academies. But I think at the end it is, they're part of it. It's part of the sense of the community. I mean, I always think that there's no need of competing, even though you're competing, right? But it's more in terms of, I mean, if let's say if I wouldn't have the chance to come to City, I was in one of those academies. If I didn't have the chance, my goal wouldn't be that collaborator would be, because it's a sense of feeling and belonging as well. Of if a player jumps from one thing to the other one, we have to give them credit, because most of those players were developed in those clubs. We are just basically, well, in my case, I've been working with this place for 5 years because I feel it that way, because I was in a club where we get the most of amount of players that usually come from to the program. But at the end it is, you know, it's a sense of belonging. And I was talking to one of the coaches from now our competitor, but it's a local club. And it's like, oh, he's excited, even pumped about, you know, having a stadium. You know, I was telling him, I mean, it's just about the feeling. And the other club brought it up in a certain point when it was USL Championship. There was a lot of already in the community. There was someone else who was doing it. Now there's someone else is doing it on a different scale.
Uh-huh.
And then it becomes like, you know, a sense of. And I told him, I had, for example, I didn't have to go to downtown. Now I'm every day in downtown. Yeah. Yeah. But it gives you to know places, to get part of knowing restaurants, for example, knowing, you know, that type of things that gives you more into the community. And then the community around us, well, they feel like, oh, we have something here that we feel part of. And we got our first game, official game in the stadium versus our second team versus Bayer Leverkusen, and it was packed. And it was like for people that is originally from St. Louis, you know, coaches that I was to, co-workers or, you know, former co-workers as well, that they were like, that feeling that, can you imagine that we have this?
Yeah.
For me, it's different because I'm an outsider that came 5 years ago, but still it is like, there was all these rumors that in 2015, 2016, they wanted to bring MLS to the Lou. That was the famous thing about bringing it to St. Louis, and didn't happen. And it was a big shocker for everyone that, you know, because people, I mean, I'm telling you, I've been in the east side, in the mountainside, and now in the Midwest, and there's a lot of history within St. Louis and with soccer. And I remember back, I have an uncle back home that used to play professional as well. And he got the opportunity to play in St. Louis because St. Louis was in the old times, in the 70s. That's where the 67.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
In the beginning of the 80s, that was the main hub of playing national team games US.
It was,
so there was a lot of history within that. I mean, in 1950s, there's like four guys from St. Louis knowing in the World Cup now the U.S. soccer playing in a national team and playing. There's two guys from – that's not common. But there's been history, but the problem is there was nothing that could shine that history, which what it makes it is a first team, is a professional team. And I think that's where it comes to now, you know, now the state and the city gets more to be seen about it and talk about it in other states, and before that becomes attractive as well. Before, maybe people didn't want to go to San Luis,
right,
but now
right.
It's like, oh, there's something there. What's going on over there? So I think that's the things that bring out together the community, and the community is super like intense in terms of now, you know, I it's just with the deposits, with the stadium, it was already sold everything in the first 2 years, and then it's like if you want to get tickets, it's gone. So it's it tells you how much hunger they were about, you know, bringing a professional setup into the area, right?
That's amazing. And it kind of like builds off of the question I asked earlier, your question. I love that question because it is something that happens with, you know, let's just take our area, for example, Dallas, right? FC Dallas, they were established. They started their academy when I was a senior in high school. I had a teammate go over there, and right away it was almost like FC Dallas became the enemy to everybody. And it wasn't that sense of like,
belonging, like
the other clubs are contributing to FC Dallas's success. It was more, and it still feels this way, where FC Dallas is just trying to reap the rewards of everyone else's work, right? And so that to me makes a lot of sense in the way that you guys have like established it and built it from the academy up, but then also getting all the other clubs in the community on board first before you actually start, you know.
And I think we have to give them a huge credit to our marketing media department as well, because even though there was not a first team, there was a lot of you know, putting emphasis into the community, putting emphasis to our academy, putting emphasis to a lot of things to, hey, we're coming. So this is yours as well. And like I said, the ownership group as well, there's a lot of, let's say, in terms of integrating everyone into when, I mean, we see our owner like hang out in our offices, because we have moved to the staff, the technical staff in the sporting department to the stadium. But, you know, being in meetings and hanging out with, you know, with anyone in the club. So that, that gives you right away those type of situations, gives you that, that sense of belonging,
yeah.
right? And like I said, the ownership group has done a lot of things to the community as well. And this is like the icing of the cake, right? That they're, oh, we're bringing you as well something that you were being asking for a while. So they are super focused on that. And then, you know, just going into the stadium, like, it's the first stadium that I have attended that I'm going to have now on a regular basis, that you see restaurants inside local, obviously, but branches that are good restaurants. Like, you know, you go usually for a hot dog or you go for a popcorn, you do have those things. But if you want to get a good, let's say, a good volcanic, which is one of the, you know, Balcani treat box, for to give an example, is in one of the restaurants and chains inside. Uh-huh. That when you're gonna get, you know, that type of food yeah. inside that, and there's plenty of that. That's just to name one, but you have all this different type of giving the fan a different experience that they are normally used to getting in other stadiums. So there's a lot of commitment from, like I said, from other. Parts of the organization with, you know, trying to be as a lot of IT technical in terms of the technological inside the stadium that you can go to, like if you're in the supermarket with your credit card and then you have an extra, you just go there, grab what you want and you go out, which is starting to implement it in some supermarkets, but you can see that in a stadium. For me, that's like a next level of,
yeah.
but that tells you as well how much commitment is to give that those type of, because you as a fan, you want to have that the best experience that you possibly you can have. So
that
I think making all that those connections with how the club is working hard in order to give that that experience. Yeah,
that's amazing. I want to shift gears for a second real quick. So I know that you're presenting on Saturday, mm-hmm. and the topic is basically implementing certain foundations, the tactical principles within your club, mm-hmm. and you're presenting with, I believe it's the Philadelphia Union
yeah.
Academy director. So, you know, obviously they're established, right? So they're coming at it from a different perspective, but you guys are starting from scratch, like fresh. And so how does, I guess, your implementation of the model that you want to build within the academy differ from how they're implementing theirs?
Yeah, I mean, I think we will talk about that, but just to give a little bit of snap and a picture of it, it is, you know, when we decide to, okay, what do we talk about and try to give the opportunity to present something, I mean, when they ask me as well, when you come to these events, I mean, there's a lot of hunger from coaches as well to try to, you know, get what do I get? So it's hard in an hour to give something that you can go from a place and really, and I want to be honest with this, to get a lot. So there was a lot of thought process in terms of, okay, how can we still you go from that conversation and then get out? So the what we're going to show is our way, basically, of an established club versus a brand new club. The process of my club versus the process of their club, and then a little bit of, like I said, snap pieces of how is our process that they can, oh, this is a process that could be implemented even if you are U12. So, because why? Because we're different. I mean, my environment is different than a U10 in another local club in the middle of Dallas. It's mm-hmm. it's a totally different environment. So our resources, we do have the resources, that's facility, players, everything, coaches, and different than someone that is attending. So at least the process of how even it's harder for us in order, even that we have all the resources, and there is an ongoing process, and that's going to be the explanation of how we do it, and that could be kind of not copy, but the process of, oh, you still need to work for that, and yeah. even though they're an MLS organization, and I guess Philly Union will show us well another, you know, pieces of that, and then it kind of, you know, make a unique experience with two clubs, right, and within, you know, time frame of an hour, 15 minutes, or whatever it is.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're in a great position to be able to implement a model because you are starting from scratch, right? Yeah. And so it's not that you have to, you know, redesign the wheel. Like, you get to basically create what you envision from a blank slate. So that must be exciting for you.
It is, but there, it comes with some of the challenges, right? For example, as a decision of the club, it is to have a unique identity within from. If you see a player on the U15, can he be seen as everything the same as a U21, as the same as the first team? So, yes, we have a coach that has his ideas. Mm-hmm. And this is when it comes to the professional levels, right? You never know when that coach is going to be changed. So the idea is to look the same, right? Still look with pieces of what the first team, because at the end, you know, even we tell the players, we are here in the service of the first team. Why? Because we're developing you guys in order that you can get into that level. We're helping you, but we're helping the organization. At the end, is everything is channeled and funneled to the first team. So why? We won not one Caden Glover. We won hopefully two or five, which is hard. But we want more, right? Mm-hmm. So how that player can get into that level with that. And then it's like you say, yeah, it's a blank. And you give you a blank page, and now here it is, work it. There was something given, but still there's a challenge. Why? Because there is age characteristics. There is a different way. There's different players coming from different environments that they get into a setup.
Demographics, things
so
like
exactly,
that, culture.
There's a lot of details and challenges that we still, that's where it becomes super challenged, even though it's a blank slate. The blank slate is, okay, how do you want to look? This is how we want to look. You start from scratch. But then you have the challenges where, okay, first team coach wants to implement ideas, wants to get, and then you don't have any choice. You have to stay too under the umbrella and the decisions that the things that you have to do, which we're trying to make it work. But how do we adapt it? Because the pro environment is a totally different story than the developmental side. Yes, we want to win. Yes, we want to look good. Yes, but there's things to do. So our goal as a coaching staff within the younger ages all the way to the 23s, it is how can we implement, right, those ideas, the identity, and how can we make it work? Then when you see, which that's some of the examples that I'm going to show, I mean, it's like everywhere, but we're trying. It's like it doesn't happen every game, but that's our main goal in 10 years, because I'm not going to say in the next year, in 10 years or in 5 years, that if you go watch a St. Louis player, they look the same. It is the same identity, and you go like, you know, it's kind of like if you see all the local MLS clubs like Red Bulls, they have a structure, they have an identity. All Red Bull wants to look the same. So we want to do the same. We want to be, we don't have any international, but we within the MLS, we want to look the same. There are players, so I guess that's where it comes to building that identity, which I'm saying it's not done, it's a process, and we're trying. It is how the players is easier to identify and that sense of belonging to something that they have. And there's going to be challenges, like I said, the players that don't have those qualities into fit into style, how do we fit them so we don't lose players, so we don't lose. So that's our job, obviously, as coaches, to retain in the market.
I think y'all are in a real exciting spot as well, because obviously with how much the sport's kind of growing over here in the States, I think any kind of new club and has that like draw with them. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look kind of at like what Austin FC's done, how like they were probably founded, what, 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe? And they're already like performing really well. The city's all behind them and they're kind of loving it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's definitely a huge benefit that you guys are going to have for sure. Just obviously just the fans coming from the start of it. The amount of players that are going to come through there, coming and excited, you know? Is that something that you can kind of already start to see?
Yeah, I mean, and overall, like I said, there's starting to happen all the pieces and all the things that we're working at. The main idea is get rolling the first team, obviously, and hopefully we can get, you know, some of that identity that I was talking about. But the academy players as well, and to your point, they've been in the process for a couple of years with the foundation of, you know, even to a certain point, even having using the same vocabulary that we know what it means for us. So we're starting to see pieces. It's not perfect, but we're trying. And you can see it when you play other teams. They kind of know, oh, these guys play this way. So this is the way that they're playing. So they kind of, it gives them a heads up already, but it kind of gives you, okay, but, you know, there is already that feeling out there that the clubs know, oh, that means you're starting to have an identity in what you do, right? So
absolutely.
So that's like I said, it should happen in all the clubs, and I guess there's a lot of that they do it, right? With the different ways that they want to create that identity. But that's the common trend, I guess, in the world soccer, right?
Yeah.
And if you see Barcelona, if you see, you know, all the teams that have been doing it in the past, now is becoming more and more kind of finding that that way.
And that's exactly it. Like, whatever your identity is, your club has to have an identity. And it, the earlier you can figure out that out, the better. And it sounds like you guys are putting all the right building blocks in place. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it all develops. I'm definitely going to be following and keeping up with you guys, and I would definitely love to just come and observe y'all's environment if the opportunity ever presents itself. But I guess, you know, I don't want to hold you too long here, but I had one last question before we let you go. You said you played in the Guatemala national team. Going back to our conversation about FC Dallas, there's one player in particular who's an FC Dallas legend that played
Carlos
for the Guatemala national team, Carlos Ruiz.
Yeah.
Did you play with him?
Yeah. In fact, he's a good, I mean, it was a good buddy in the old days.
Yeah.
You see, as we have different paths, he still lives in Florida. We still are connected. He's used to be in the media a little bit with being sports, working for them. But yeah, I mean, that's our...
He's a great player.
When people
huh?
ask me, I would say for me, this is just my opinion in terms of is our the best player that we ever had.
Really?
Yeah. So... We have other players, but in terms of, you know, when you get that two things, right, not only the success that he had, the success that he had in different countries, right? So, obviously, he has success. He left young as well, but being able to have records, having record, being able to, you know, win championship in clubs, you know, away. He won in Dallas, the Lamar Hunt Cup. He won in LA Galaxy, the first championship for LA Galaxy. MVP on his first year. Has the top scorer of MLS.
I think he has the goal
has
of the decade.
Magnificent goals as well. That, you know, if you ask a player that can't score many bicycles, it's like it's amazing how he did it. He played in Europe. He's the only player from our country to play in the Europa League. And so... A lot of success. There were good players in our country, but with a lot of success, I mean, he's definitely one, and he's in the top list. He still brags about that.
he got to.
About even the record on the qualifying. So he's on top of Messi and Ronaldo. He always, in social media, he keeps bragging about that, which I'm not like that, but he likes to be like that.
Yeah.
But for example, he has so more goals in qualifying World Cup games. And I don't think Messi's going to do another World Cup, and I don't think Cristiano Ronaldo will do another qualifying. Might do a couple.
They might, because Martinez just got signed for Portugal.
They might do.
He was talking about
So there might be a chance that they
in.
Catch him up.
Yeah.
So he's in first. He has like 39 or something, or 36, something like that. And then Messi and Ronaldo is on 32, and Messi's on 27.
But
obviously,
even Scaloni just came out and said that he might play another World Cup.
Says, well, he scored versus the islands. Yeah, but who? Yeah,
I mean,
but yeah,
they all count.
It's
all
like
count.
Ronaldo scores versus Malta, with all respect, or versus Luxembourg or something
right.
like that. So, but yeah, he's definitely one of the best ones. Like I said, I still have a good relationship. In fact, we started in academy level together in a club, local club called Municipal. I didn't get to play for that team, which is funny. I did all the academy. And then my debut was in another academy team, where they gave me the opportunity in the first team. But he was with me. I mean, he's 1 year younger than me, so we were in the same age level.
Oh, gotcha,
and,
yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, in national team, we played together many, many successes. Also, many times we were not successful, and we had to cry it a little bit. But in terms of getting beat it, but yeah.
Love it, man. Well,
but he's a legend in Dallas for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they still talk about him.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think we've really had another. Well, of course, we've had Ricardo Pepi and Jesus Ferreira recently, but there was a gap where we didn't really have an out-and-out like goal scorer like that.
Yeah.
But, hey, Luis, I appreciate your time, man.
Yeah,
thanks
no
for
problem.
Coming on, you know, sharing your background, your experiences. Like I said, we're definitely going to be keeping up with you, and good luck in your presentation, and And thank definitely you. We'll stay in touch.
No, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity and excited to be here. Excited as well to be in the convention. And hopefully, you know, that people comes and joins on Saturday just to give us Saturday at 3:30.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks, Luis.
Thank you. Thank you, Evan. Yeah.